Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
Welcome to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
This week, we're talking about how to be a greener runner. I think most of us accept we're now, you know, in a climate crisis. And as runners, it's high time we thought a little bit about the impact our incredible sport is also having on the environment.
If you, you know, in the nicest way possible, be polite, but also tell race organisers and anyone who will listen, councils, all the rest, that there are easy wins, which there are, and I think that will make a massive difference. Before we get into the bigger issue, Rick, any smaller issues that we need to address from the weekend?
Well, I think so. It was the Southern Cross Country Championships at Parliament Hill in London, and it's an amazing day. Like, it's an incredible exhibition of running, loads of great runners, and loads of runners of all shapes and sizes. But I think overshadowing it still is the fact that men are running 15K, which is a long way in cross country.
Also,
and women are still only running 8K, so almost just over half. And we know we've talked with about the Run Equal campaign before, but it seems like we're slightly stuck in the mud, if you will, when it comes to this race.
Yeah, so anyone who's not caught up on it, there's a couple of podcasts now that we've spoken about the Run Equal campaign, so feel free to delve into our library and have a listen. But it's still quite, you know, Maud came on for our first podcast, which was sort of nearly, well, over 2 years now.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing thing. But so that is important. I did see some pictures of the mud. It looked pretty sticky.
Yeah, it looked like classic cross-country, didn't it?
It looked good. I think a topic that we'll probably revisit again, but hopefully not. Hopefully with good news.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's moving in the right direction. I think the majority of people really think that it's time that men and women ran the same distance as they do.
Whatever
on
distance
track
that may be.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, should we get on to talk a little bit about the environment, Ben?
Before we get into the green issue, Rick, I'm just going to look at a letter that we received.
Lovely.
When we always ask people to write in, which is, you know, exactly what we want, and people have. It reverts back to the last podcast where me and Rick had a chat about parenting and running. And it's we got a message back from Nick Kane, who said, "Thanks for your excellent discussion last week about being a running dad. Having a 4-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl myself, this is often a tug on the heartstring debate for me." Nick is 32 and he runs a few times a week. And he says, "Having kids, I've kept up my normal life for 3 years. But unfortunately, his wife became ill." Which, you know, in any of these situations, it really lets you calibrate.
Yeah, for sure.
What's important. Yeah. And he was just saying that he's given up most things socially, but the running is still the one thing that he's kept up, however, during this whole time. And he now schedules the whole thing around his family time, and it allows him to do the hobby that he loves, and it means he gets top quality time with himself and his family.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for writing in, Nick. It's good to get some feedback on.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to talk about, being a parent and running and fixing everything together. So it's good to hear that people have a shared experience.
Yes, I agree. Well, look, let's go on, Ben, to talk a little about how to be a greener runner. We know I feel like it's a really apt time to talk about this stuff. I think most of us accept we're now, you know, in a climate crisis. And as runners, it's high time we thought a little bit about the impact our incredible sport is also having on the environment. So Ben and I are going to try to provide some easy-to-follow advice about becoming a greener runner. So I'll quickly start. And this is about some of the behaviour that you can partake in as a runner. So one of the first easy ways is running to work.
Yeah, the run commute.
Exactly, run commute. Lots of people do it. But just to put in context, you know, it could even save you time. So it doesn't have to be this kind of you know, I'm doing this for the environment. It's actually a more practical way of getting to work. 2018, Strava's Human Sport showed that it's actually quicker in the cities of Aberdeen and Belfast to run to work than it is to drive. And it predicts it's going to be the same in London in 2020. So actually, it's a pretty efficient way of getting to work as well as being environmental. And most importantly, the positive eco effect of swapping transport for 2 feet is of swapping public transport for 2 feet is significant. Last year, UK run commuters covered over 10 million miles, offsetting a potential 1.1 billion litres of CO2. And that's the equivalent to keeping more than 1,300 cars off the road. So it makes a big difference.
Those sorts of, I think this is it. When you tell people to run commute and they go, well, how's it going? If that train is already running and I don't get on it, what's the difference that it makes?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they'll just, I'll get the train when it doesn't matter. If the train will always run and if I'm not running. But I think that you see stats like that, that just changing habits has a huge capability to offset.
Definitely.
These sorts of things.
Huge figures.
Another thing to try out, to sort of do your best, is a sort of a sense of being closer to home adventures. Now, obviously, lots of people run their local races many, many times, and you kind of feel like maybe you should travel further afield to get a different, I don't know, experience.
Yeah.
You know, we, as an example, we did the Peaks Relay, and we've done, these different adventures around London as a sort of an attempt to try and
Bring adventure home. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that, have a look close to home for your next adventure.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And as you say, some of the best adventures can start at your front door, and it's as much a kind of state of mind as it is a postcode or incredible scenery. Obviously, there's a time and a place for that. And you know, you and I have travelled by plane to races, so it's not about kind of saying that's necessarily wrong. But I think actually, that there's more to explore closer to your door.
Oh, nice.
I think that rhymed, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
I'll get a jingle going.
So I mentioned plogging, so I'll say it again. Yeah. Plogging.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So running and the sort of phenomenon that came around, which is that if you go for a run and you take a bin bag with you and you pick up some litter as you go on your route.
Yeah.
Now that is, I think, one of the most instantaneous things that runners can do that has an immediate direct impact. And, you know, if you obviously when you've picked up all that waste, go the extra step, sort it, maybe do some recycling.
Yeah.
Go along that way. And I think that's where sort of plogging can make a big difference, even if you sort of just, I don't know, if you know that within a long run that you're doing, there might be, we're not asking people to do 20 miles of plogging. That would be hard work. But, you know, if you know that there's a particular section that you can spend 5 minutes doing, I think that would make it, that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's a nice way of doing it. You could say, right, for two of these miles, I'm going to plog.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to run for 12 miles, but only two of them I'm going to plog. Let's chat about racing.
Yes.
I think there's some easy ways that when you do races, how you can reduce your race footprint. So the first will be how you get to those races. So travelling sustainably, walking, cycling, using public transport or a lift share, which a lot of races are encouraging now. And I think a lot of races' Facebook page has these kind of car share schemes.
On that note, I once ran one of my best half marathons because I walked to the start.
Yeah.
Now, it was local to me, so I'm not talking like a vast difference, but nothing like a good walk to warm up.
Yeah, I'd say preferable to sitting in a car for 3 hours, not moving at all.
Yeah.
Glutes have gone to sleep.
Oh, yes.
And then you start on a hill or something.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree. I think a little bit of gentle movement is a good thing.
Exactly.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. And another one possibly even at the end of a race is the refusal of unnecessary items.
Right.
And we've touched upon this in a broader scope of things of like rejecting medals and stuff. We're not talking about that. Like, it's not like we're not taking a stance against things, but A lot of these races generate a lot of waste through the fact that the goodie bags have a lot of stuff in them.
Yeah.
The goodie bag itself, these sorts of things. So if that's happening at a race, unless you're going to take it away and recycle it yourself, it's probably best to leave it at the race venue because you know that it will be cared for and disposed of accordingly.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And we did a poll, didn't we, about on Twitter, was about, would you be prepared not to have a finisher's T-shirt to reduce the environmental impact of a race? And 65% of people said they would be.
Yeah, of over 1,000 responses.
Yeah, so actually quite not bad selection. And that's not even close, is it? It's like two-thirds of people would be happy not to have a T-shirt. I would be among them. I think, yes, there's the occasional great race T-shirt. I'm thinking maybe London Marathon race T-shirt, if you're lucky enough to get in. That's like a real memento. But lots of these race T-shirts, I think, just take up room. And end up getting thrown in the bin.
I never really rewear them.
No. There's probably a few exceptions, but most of them a bit, you know, just going in the back of the drawer, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The other thing that we've seen make a huge difference is actually people speaking out.
Yeah.
So a lot of Virgin have made a huge effort to remove plastics from their races.
Yeah.
We spoke previously about the seaweed pouches to replace plastic on race course to serve people to consume your water via a pouch of seaweed. So we've had all of that sort of those changes have come into place, and most of them have come into place because runners have made a fuss.
Yeah.
And they've been vocal about people being, you know, more proactive towards environmental changes. So if you know, in the nicest way possible, be polite, but also tell race organisers and anyone who will listen, councils, all the rest, that there are easy wins, which there are.
Yeah.
And I think that'll make a massive difference.
I agree. That's the nice part of social media, isn't it? These kind of campaigns for good, and they can get momentum, and actually putting pressure on races in a sensible, mature way is a good thing, particularly when you know, the win is the environment, which is good for everyone.
Yes, exactly.
So, quick question to our listeners. What measure are you going to take in 2020 to become a greener runner? For me, I actually am going to look into how I get to races. That'll be... So I will look at car sharing. I will be thinking about racing local as much as possible. So that's where I'm going to try and do it. How about you, Ben?
Plogging. Not really done it.
Okay.
We've talked about it, and we've done a few group runs and around, but I just feel like it's such an easier thing to do.
It is easy,
I'm not running fast or far anywhere at the moment, so I feel like stopping and doing some litter picking is the best thing I can do with my running at the moment.
Well, let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. So, need a little more inspiration. We caught up with Rima Chang, a.k.a. Tyre Lady, to talk a little bit more about her challenge in which she is dragging around a massive tyre, marathons and ultramarathons, all in the name of reducing waste.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
So, Rima, you can be spotted dragging tyres behind you at marathons and ultramarathons. Can you tell us what is motivating you to do this?
What is motivating me to drag my tyres in marathons?
Yeah.
It is it's a couple of things. One is that about this challenge. Two is about the challenge of dragging or pulling a tyre in 100 marathons. It started off with me pulling a tyre in a marathon due to me training to go to the North Pole.
Okay.
And I thought that would be the best way to train and enter marathons. So what happened when I dragged myself for the first time, and so when I used to actually just practice around one of the parks around here, and people used to stop me and say, what are you doing? And I go, well, pulling a tire, you know. And they say, why? Are you mad? I say, well, and I didn't really want to tell them that I was actually going to the North Pole at the time because I hadn't raised the funds yet at that point. And so I said, yeah, well, I'm going to enter a marathon. And they say, is it your first marathon? I say, yes. And they say, well, don't be stupid. You know, you wouldn't at your first marathon. Anyway, but so I did. So that's what happened. And then, so the next thing I thought, well, you know, instead of telling people that I'm pulling a tyre, why don't I start telling them about, you know, the environmental reasons and that, you know, a tyre is pulling us backwards. You know, it represents waste. It was an old tyre and it represents waste. And it's something that is dragging us backwards. You know, the amount of waste that we generate is dragging us backwards. So I started to talk at events later on. Some of the marathon events in America asked me to talk about what I was doing. And I started talking about waste and about how much waste we generate, and to actually try and say, hey, guys, I think we got to try and stop the amount of waste we're generating because it's not being recycled where you think it's being recycled. As you know, as you might be well aware, that it's being recycled in China, Malaysia, and it's probably been dumped in the ocean, dumped in landfills as well. Yeah. So that's really what happened, because my passion is about trash. I love talking about trash.
Do you think that runners and maybe race organisers are changing their attitude when it comes to the environment? Do you think we're becoming more aware of these issues, or do you think it's, you know, very little has happened?
No, people definitely are becoming much more aware. Before 2018, I used to actually say to folks, we have to actually reduce our waste. And folk would come up to me and say, you know, I recycle, so I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Shrug their shoulders. And nowadays, people actually understand that actually recycling isn't the answer. I know that in the UK, there's probably about 30 events now that are about that have gone cupless. So I've been campaigning for the events to get rid of cups, reduce the amount of waste that they're generating by looking at the food that they're supplying, and a whole host of things. Okay, and so the organisations, they're aware of it. The participants themselves, since 2018, they've switched on since Blue Planet 2.
Right.
And they have actually become a lot more switched on about the amount of plastic and where that's going to. You know, so when I used to tell people that it was going to China, folk didn't actually believe me. But now it's come to the surface that is the case. And now, you know, we still see our waste still heading off to Malaysia or Thailand.
Ben and I were talking about how people travel to races and how actually environmental gains can be made in that area. Is that a consideration for you when you go and do these marathons and ultramarathons? Do you try to take the most sustainable way of getting there?
Yes. So I'll give you an example. Last year, Trieste, Italy, and Geneva, these are two events. One was a 10K event and the other was the Geneva Marathon.
Right.
They both asked me to be their sustainability ambassador and to talk to the participants about waste reduction and things that can be done. And so they said that they would fly me in. I said, well, if I'm going to be a sustainability ambassador, I can't exactly fly in.
Yeah.
So how about this? I'm going to do a big, bold challenge here. I'm going to cycle to your event. So I'm going to cycle from the UK to Trieste, run in your event, and then I'm going to cycle from Trieste to Geneva and Geneva back.
Right.
Now, if I do this, I'd like to see a big, bold action from yourselves. And it's been amazing, actually. Geneva's actually promised me they've got about 23,000 participants that they will go cupless this year. So, yeah, I cycled. I cycled 2,600 miles.
Wow. Well, that's great. That is great.
That is fantastic. And I think that's the sort of stuff that we're looking for in terms of inspiration to
exactly
to change your ways. Reema, where can people go to find out more about what you do and how to make a difference?
So I have a website, if they want to go there, which is tirelady.wordpress.com or tirelady.com if they want to go there.
Great.
You know, I have a Twitter handle if they want to chat with me.
Yep.
Tirelady. And, you know, Facebook as well, Tirelady.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm always happy to chat to folk and try to guide them. I'm part of various groups to try to help people to understand about the amount of waste.
Reema, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. That was really insightful, and all the best with your upcoming races and keep dragging that tire.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, that was very insightful from Reema.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And she's not just doing, like, you know, the occasional park run retire, she's doing these 100-mile races.
And then cycling there as well.
I know.
There we go, amazing. So just we'll revert back to our chat. So we've covered off how we can do things better. Mm. And now it's about the big money makers and how they can improve.
Yes.
So in 2018, 500 million pairs of running shoes were sold, approximately. I haven't counted them all, but it's about that many. And a lot of the plastics used in these shoes, it can take up to 1,000 years for these shoes to even begin to degrade. Yeah. So we're talking about, that's a lot of rubbish.
For sure.
Friend of the podcast, Kieran Alger.
Yeah.
We can maybe insert a little bit of his jingle here. he's written a great piece in the issue of the mag that's coming out now. So you should all go and buy that and read it. But he sort of highlights how there's been a shift from key players, Nike a bit, Adidas more, and then some newer brands that have sort of taken it upon themselves to be a bit more diligent in the environmental stakes. Adidas have worked with Parley over the years, and that's made a big difference to sort of removing, offsetting some of the plastic use that happens in the manufacture of their shoes. Not all shoes, but slowly but surely they've found some new production processes, which have allowed them to use all sorts of plastics in their shoes. And we saw that with the Solar Boost, actually. And it's kind of like a larger scale, which I think from this year you'll see way more from them, which is where they've just reused plastics.
Yeah.
Which is great. Actually, if you visit their campus, you can see that they're really dedicated to this as a cause in the fact that plastic is banned from the campus. So I think a nod to Adidas because they've really sort of like they've really made it their mission statement.
Yeah, it's like
it's not just like a gesture. They've really like decided to do it. There's some interesting stats that
is it Vega, this other brand? Is it Veja?
Veja. So they're more of a fashion. People will know them as the sort of white tennis shoe with a V on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
They bought out a running shoe called the Condor.
Yes.
Last year, which was it's 53% bio-based and recycled materials used in the shoe. You know, it's a new running shoe, so there's not much sort of like performance-based about. But in terms of like staking a claim and being a bit more like, this is how we're going to do it. Mm. That was a really interesting shoe to see being bought out because if you visit the website runnersworld.com/UK, we've got a whole list of ethical running brands that you can have a look at because there's some great ones out there. Things made from bamboo cotton, which is more of a sustainable and sort of less environmentally damaging grown crop kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bamboo's got many, many uses and it's incredibly good. Performance-wise, Sun-Dried as well. They're a brand who make high-performance running kit when it's used from sort of recycled coffee grounds and plastic bottles and things like that. So there are lots of brands out there who are doing good things. Everyone like Patagonia.
Yeah,
they're sort of leading the way in terms of like not just the brand, but like preserving vast landscapes. Yeah. You know, so
it's an interesting conundrum, isn't it? Because I think that most runners, when it comes to apparel,
yes,
absolutely right. The greener the better, and obviously price is a consideration. But you'd never, it's not such a hard decision to do that. I think with shoes, and Kerry's coming on in a second, and he may have a different opinion about this. But I think that runners still care primarily about will it be my good performance shoe? Will it make me faster? What's it like to run in? As opposed to, and then it's a bonus if it has good environmental creds.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but that's the same with all performance. I guess you kind of like want to put it down to, you're going to have to put a note in your head. You're going to have to factor in what you want to achieve most.
Yes, that's true.
So if you're hard and fast set on a PB time, then maybe you want the shoe that will do that for you.
Yeah.
If you're kind of like either done with your PB chasing,
yes,
or it's not really your thing and you just want to feel better about what you're doing, and then you'll just have a little dig, do some research and find the shoe that you feel is making less of an impact.
Yeah, yeah.
And you never know, when you feel better about all these things, Rick, you might run better.
That's the hope.
So maybe you'll get that PB anyway.
That's the grand hope, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, should we invite Kerry in?
Yes.
Let's do it.
His fingers on the button, his ears to the ground. He's done a bit of Googling and he's had a nose around. He's a detective wearing running shoes. Kerry McCarthy and his weekly running news.
Kerry, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, everyone listening as well. I've got a few things to rattle through this week. Firstly, If you are a fan of Marshalls and you're one of those people who, as our columnist Paul Tonkinson likes to do, shouts, "Thank you, Marshall," every time you go around the corner, next time you're doing a race, just kind of have a little look at them and see if you think they look competent or not. Last week at the Gloucester Marathon, Marshall sent a handful of runners the wrong way. The leaders, in fact, which, you know, you can't get any more disastrous than that. There was a section of the course where people had to do three loops of it, and the Marshalls sent the first X number of people to do four loops of it, which meant the guys in first and second ended up actually coming in fourth and fifth. So, yeah, you'd be pretty gutted at that, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
the race director afterwards said that they'd hired an external company and, you know, it was basically kind of... I would be tempted to do the same thing, sort of buck-passing as like, nothing to do with me, Governor. It was like, you know, it was a third party. And yeah, apparently those people turned up an hour late and shorthanded, and it was all a bit of a disaster. But once they realised, they obviously amended the results. But that it kind of takes a little bit away, doesn't it, from the feeling of crossing the line first?
So you got a feel for them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bloody Marshalls, eh? Sorry if you're a Marshall, we love you. On to the coronavirus, which is, you know, is something that's dominating the news at the moment, and it's made its way into athletics in as much as the World Indoor Athletics Championships are supposed to be taking place in March in China. So obviously now that is under review. I would imagine there aren't going to be too many people travelling out there, but if you were thinking about going out there, if you're an athletics nut, I would just keep an eye on that. The Asian Indoor Championships, which are taking place, I think, well, were supposed to take place 12th and 13th of February, have already been cancelled. So I would imagine they will adopt the better to be safe than sorry approach and bin that on this occasion. And thirdly, shoes and stuff. I was listening with interest to your
chat before we came on. A two-pronged approach to shoes today. So we've got the news that Jake Whiteman broke the British 1,000-metre indoor record.
Yeah.
And he was sporting a pair of the New Balance...
The 5280.
The 5280, the shoes specifically designed for, I think, the mile specifically.
Yeah,
it was kind of a mile shoe.
That is how it was marketed,
They had great success at the Westminster Mile. So with two wins now for this shoe, it immediately triggered a conversation about, perhaps this is the new shoe for the short distance races versus how Vaporflies have dominated longer distance. And then that, it's twofold. So you suddenly start talking about these shoes and how, like, oh, this one shoe is now perfect for this distance and this shoe is perfect for this. And it kind of puts the athlete on...
Do you think it detracts a little from the pure athletic achievement?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, it has a different effect to me because, you know, I'm attempting this mile.
You just want some.
So I just want a pair. I'm like, these sound great. This is what I need.
Fine. This is what I'll call some in for you.
This is what I need. I actually think that in some ways... It's great that another brand have got a shoe that people are talking about, isn't it? Because, yeah, Nike have dominated the kind of performance conversation, I guess, for the last, 2 years, probably, when it comes to the Vaporflies, actually. Yeah, a bit of a spotlight on this shoe. Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a big runner, but I'm too heavy to wear these New Balance 5280 shoes, for example, for the mile.
Mm.
So if I were to stick them on... you know, it would be effectively meaningless for me because, you know, there's probably 3-4 kilos I can use, a lot more mileage I can do, better things I can eat.
Yeah.
But what I do think is good about that particular shoe is that New Balance have a kind of focused on an area that's been a little bit abandoned over the years.
Yeah, agree.
Maybe that's biased as a Brit because obviously we used to rule the world in that distance, but it's, you know, it's a great distance. It's hard just because it's 1,600 metres or so. It still requires a lot of training to kind of max out on that.
Definitely.
So, you know, there are a lot of marathon running shoes out there. And then, as we've discussed in the podcast before, the marathon has kind of become a bit meh and everyone's doing ultras. It's like, I think it's lovely to see a brand going, actually, what about the short distances?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Well, just to put Jake's performance into sort of real terms, so he ran 1,000 metres in 2 minutes and 17 seconds.
It's a good kilometre, isn't it?
Right. It was tolerable, yeah.
So if we break that into 100, I mean, my maths is going to be absolutely abysmal on this, but what's that, like a 13-second 100 metres?
It's something like that, isn't it?
So just that in itself, suddenly the reality, that would be absolutely flat out
Yeah, no, yeah.
And I don't know if I could do I don't know if I'd make it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? You're right, it's absolutely flat out. Yep. It's not like that's... And you're dying, probably. You might get close to 200 metres at that pace.
Maybe you might. Right. Kerry, thank you so much again for imparting vast amounts of knowledge.
Well, vast amounts of something anyway. See you next time.
Thanks.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Rima Chang, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast was recorded at Number 8 Studios in Soho and is available on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. If you've enjoyed the episode, please give us a review and we will see you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.